From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Michelle Norris. Voters went to the polls in Wisconsin and Washington State and caucused in Hawaii today in presidential contests. It was a key night in the Democratic race, with Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton in a showdown in Wisconsin. Both vow to fight on to big primaries in Texas and Ohio early next month, but the winner stands to gain significant momentum. On the Republican side, NPR is projecting that John McCain has won the Republican primary in Wisconsin. We'll talk to our reporters covering tonight's results. With me now here in the studio is NPR's Washington editor, Ron Elving. Welcome, Ron.
Good to be with you, Michelle.
Help us understand what's at stake in these contests tonight.
There are a number of delegates at stake in Wisconsin and in the Hawaii caucus. There are some on the Washington State Republican side, not on the Democratic side in Washington State, but really more than the delegate count is momentum. For John McCain, who wants to close in on the magic number to be the official nominee of the Republican Party, which he will get closer to tonight, as we are projecting he will win in Wisconsin. And, of course, for Barack Obama, who wants to keep going that winning streak that he's had since Super Tuesday.
And Hillary Clinton, of course, trying to slow his momentum.
Yes, indeed.
Now, this is Wisconsin is often described as a blue-collar battleground. Are there certain things that you're going to be looking for in the exit polls and the trends in the issues that dominated the discussion that will help us understand the landscape ahead?
Yes, the population of Wisconsin has relatively few African Americans, even fewer Latinos. It is a heavily white, about 88% white state. And in addition to that, it has a traditional mix of union households, of blue-collar households, of traditional Democrats, the kind of people who made up the backbone of the party from the New Deal on. And this has not been the part of the party to which Barack Obama has appealed. Up to now, usually he loses those voters. If he can get an even split with those voters or even carry them by some small amount, that would be cutting into the exact base that Hillary Clinton is counting on in states such as Ohio and Pennsylvania.
That's NPR's Washington editor, Ron Elving. Thank you, Ron.
Thank you, Michelle.
For more now on the contest in Wisconsin, we turn to NPR's Scott Horsley. He's in Milwaukee. Welcome, Scott. Scott, can you hear us there? We're hoping that Scott Horsley's on the line. If not, we're going to come back to him in just a second.
Yes, good. I can hear you just fine.
Oh, good, good. We're glad you're there, Scott. Now, the polls just closed less than 10 minutes ago there in Wisconsin, but what do we know so far?
Well, we know it was a busy day at those polls, Michelle. Going into the day, election overseers were expecting a very strong turnout, something like 35% of the voting age population here in Wisconsin. That would be the best in 20 years. And we were hearing reports, especially in some heavily Democratic areas, say around Madison and here in Milwaukee, of turnout even higher than that. Late in the day here in Milwaukee, they were sending out for extra ballots in some precincts. So a lot of voter interest in this primary here today.
Now, we should say that this is happening despite some absolutely vicious weather out there.
Well, it was cold across Wisconsin today, but it was mostly clear. We had had some snow and freezing rain over the weekend, but today the skies were mostly clear. I did talk to some voters who had trouble dealing with ice in their driveways, but the roads were primarily clear, so if you could stand the single-digit temperatures, there was nothing to keep you out of the voting booth today.
So what do we know about the issues that voters were most concerned about when they headed to the polls?
Well, as Ron says, this is a blue-collar state, and the economy was uppermost on the minds of a lot of people, both that I spoke with and who had talked to pollsters. About 40% of the people voting said it was the economy was the number one issue, and certainly Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton spent a lot of their time during the last week focused on pocketbook issues, dealing with foreclosures, dealing with jobs being transferred overseas, dealing with health care, very much bread-and-butter issues.
It sounds like trade became a big issue also.
Well, that's right. Wisconsin voters, as is true of voters really across the country, have very much lost faith that in free trade. They're very skeptical of trade deals like NAFTA, and Barack Obama has spent a lot of time talking about how Hillary Clinton's husband, of course, Bill Clinton, had been the one responsible for NAFTA. Both candidates have said that they want to address the shortcomings of some of those trade deals and try to keep jobs from going overseas. But across the country, you're really seeing a lot of skepticism that free trade, the benefits of free trade are shared widely with working people.
That was NPR Scott Horsley speaking to us in Milwaukee. Thank you, Scott.
Good to be with you.
Now, we go on to NPR's David Green. He's covering the Clinton campaign, and he's speaking to us from Cheney High School in Youngstown, Ohio. Hello, David.
Hi, Michelle. How are you?
I'm fine. What are you hearing about the results and the expectations from Hillary Clinton's advisors?
Well, Michelle, this campaign is really pushing the story forward. You know, we're still waiting for those results from Wisconsin, but they are speaking a lot more about Ohio and Texas and look March 4th. And you know, this campaign coined the term hitting the reset button after they lost in Iowa. And you're getting the feeling they're trying to do that now after, you know, what's been a tough month for them. A lot of victories by Barack Obama. Hillary Clinton is testing out a new speech tonight. She's going to be giving the full speech in New York State, going back home tomorrow morning. She's going to, we've got some excerpts from the campaign. She's going to say things like, this election is not about me or my opponent. It's about you, your lives, your dreams, your future. Right now, too many people are struggling, and you need a president ready on day one to be commander-in-chief. So the language doesn't sound all that different from what we've heard before, but, you know, Hillary Clinton is using a teleprompter tonight, which is something she doesn't usually do. Again, going back to New York to give a major speech before moving on to Ohio and Texas. So getting the feeling that they're trying to sort of rekindle something and get started anew.
You know, it sounds like they've already put Wisconsin in the rearview mirror. They're looking ahead. When they talk about what they need to do to try to, you know, get this campaign back on track, to make sure that she has a strong showing in these two key contests on March 4th, beyond changing her message, what is it that they need to do?
Well, I think they're going to focus more on economic issues and trade, especially when it comes to the state of Ohio. In Texas, a bit of a different message. You know, that there are areas of Texas, South Texas, for example, a lot of Latino voters where Bill Clinton's policies are still very popular. I'm sure you're going to be hearing Hillary Clinton talk about that. But, you know, this is a campaign that in public, you know, officials will tell you that the momentum doesn't mean anything. They've been looking at February as a tough month all along. They're looking ahead towards Ohio and Texas. But if you speak privately to aides, they don't sound all that upbeat. And I think they're in desperate need of a victory after what, again, has been a really tough month for them.
David, one last quick question. Senator Clinton really hit Senator Obama pretty hard on this week on the issue of possible plagiarism, that he appropriated some lines from his friend, the Massachusetts Governor Deval Patrick. Were they testing out just how hard they can strike at Barack Obama in Wisconsin?
I think they were, and I think that's something we really should look for tomorrow. I'm just looking down at some more of these excerpts about the speech tomorrow, and Hillary Clinton is going to say things like, only one of us is ready to be commander-in-chief in a dangerous world. Only one of us has a plan to provide health care. So I think we should expect both tonight and tomorrow a pretty tough speech, and again, we've already seen a bit of a preview of that in the last day or two.
That was David Green speaking to us from Youngstown, Ohio. Thanks so much, David.
Thanks, Michelle.
We turn now to NPR's Audie Cornish. She's covering the Obama campaign, and she speaks to us from the Toyota Center in Houston, Texas. Hello, Audie.
Hi, Michelle.
We just heard from David Green talking about the expectations game that the expectations that the Hillary Clinton advisors are sort of laying out. What are you hearing from Senator Obama's advisors?
Well, they're not trying to overplay their hand, but this is a campaign that is eyeing what they hope could possibly be a ninth great victory since Super Tuesday, or including Super Tuesday. So right now, we're just actually 2 or 3 minutes away from the senator himself taking the stage here at the Toyota Center. 19,000 capacity arena, and it actually looks mostly full.
Well, Audie, it sounds like it's also pretty loud there with all those seats packed. So we're going to let you go, and we'll probably come back to you again this evening. That's NPR's Audie Cornish speaking to us from Houston, Texas. Thanks so much. I'm joined here in the studio again by NPR's Ron Elving. I just asked David Green about this issue with Barack Obama borrowing these phrases from his friend Deval Patrick. There was this other issue this week, comments made by Michelle Obama saying this is the first time that she has felt proud of her country. Barack Obama has quite a bit of wind in his sails right now, but have these things, do they start to change that perhaps as he heads into these key contests?
These are potential holes in those sails through which some of that propelling wind might escape. And it's also possible that, as we speculated a week ago, after his smashing victories, really, in the Potomac primaries, Virginia, Maryland, District of Columbia, at this point, he is getting a new kind of scrutiny. And it's not that people haven't necessarily asked questions about him before. It's that everything that people see in him now has a new portent. It has a new importance. It has a new threat, if you will. The chance that perhaps we're going to find out that this is not the young man we thought he was. Or we're going to find out that he nurses certain attitudes, or his wife may have certain attitudes that will be quite unpopular.
Well, that, her patriotism.
Well, and when she said that this was the first time that in her adult life, was actually what she said, that she had felt proud of her country. And that was immediately pounced upon in a very negative way by a number of people who had not heard the entire paragraph or paragraphs in which that sentence appeared. It did not play well, taken out of context. And that's going to happen. It's going to happen to her. It's going to happen to him. People are going to say, wait a minute, did you make up that phrase or did you get it from someone else? That device in your speech where you cited famous sayings from previous political leaders and then said, are those just words? Is that yours or did somebody use it before you did? And that's going to be cast in an entirely more glaring light than it would have been just a few weeks ago, let alone 6 months ago.
Now, these primaries have been flying at us one after the other every single week. We now have this lull, this two-week period between these contests in Wisconsin, Washington State, and Ohio, and Hawaii, and these two contests in Ohio and Texas, all the way ahead in the calendar on March 4th.
Yes, and it's quite welcome, I think, by all concerned. The campaigns desperately need a break. The candidates themselves are clearly exhausted. They need some kind of respite from this pace. And it's going to give them a chance to retool, to rethink their message, to decide just what they should be saying, how they want to connect with the voters, what substance to show they have not shown up to now, what greater programmatic detail Barack Obama may wish to show. And for someone like John McCain, who is getting a little closer and a little closer, it gives him a chance to pick up a few more endorsements and really make Texas and Ohio, and also primaries that same day in Vermont and Rhode Island, the dispositive end for the Republican side of this campaign.
That's NPR's Washington editor Ron Elving speaking to us in the studio. Thanks so much, Ron.
Thank you, Michelle.